Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Frank Spampinato, Chief Acquisition Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer. Frank, since acquisition is a fiduciary responsibility, the federal government business must be conducted with complete impartiality. Could you elaborate on efforts being pursued to ensure procurement integrity, making sure that proper standards of conduct, ethical and legal requirements are being followed by the federal acquisition staff?
Well, my position on this point is not a mystery since I talk about this probably every time I speak. You know, eventually people will get tired of hearing it, but frankly, I truly believe that we have enough regulations and laws to, you know, appropriately protect the American public and catch those who would act criminally. You know, people are always attempting to clean up contracting or to make contracting officers competent. Well, I don't believe that contracting needs to be cleaned up or contracting folks need to be made competent. In fact, with, you know, my level of education and training and that of the people I've worked beside, I sometimes take a little bit of offense to some of these efforts to make us competent. You know, you have to have a thick skin around here, but but you know, you had Katrina and the war, and you know they really taxed the system, and people made mistakes, and plenty were made, believe me. But you know, mistakes are a far cry from criminal conduct, and those criminally inclined are eventually caught up with and prosecuted. But to look at all acquisition professionals as potential criminals, you know, sometimes it seems like that. I think it's wrong and it's counterproductive to what we're trying to accomplish. You know, we're never going to solve this workforce crisis if the rules, the regs, and the oversight keep on coming. I mean, I believe in appropriate oversight, but, these days it just keeps coming and coming and coming, and sometimes it just doesn't seem there's any logical reason for it.
What kinds of partnerships are you developing now to improve operations or outcomes at DOE, and how may these partnerships change over time?
Well, first of all, I think you're going to see more collaboration in the future amongst everyone, and I think the continuing workforce crisis will be a huge factor in this respect. You know, even though we haven't had much time to work on this lately, you know, I've begun building a relationship with the intelligence community, you know, via the DNI's procurement executive, Teresa Everett. She's a great person to work with. And I really think that even though, you know, that it's, you know, you've got that veil there, you've got to be careful, but there are a lot of things that can be shared between them and us. And, I mean, we've talked about, you know, she's been very gracious to include me in goings-on in the IC, and, you know, she's had conversations with some of our people on grant management, and so I think we're sharing across those lines. I also believe that over the past 18 months, I've played a part in building stronger relationships with our external customers, you know, OMB, GAO, SBA, Capitol Hill. I think this is an effort that really has to be nurtured and continued over time, and it's very easily overtaken by events, you know, but it should take priority. And over time, I believe we'll become more open and more willing to share information. Maybe that's just a hope, but, you know, I'm hoping, though, I'm not sure it will happen, that we'll not only dialogue, but we'll attempt to understand each other in terms of, you know, some of the capabilities and the constraints of some of our organizations.
Now, looking into your crystal ball and transitioning more to the future, would you give us a sense of some of the key issues that will affect acquisition and procurement offices government-wide over the next couple of years?
Well, I think the workforce crisis is going to continue to be an issue. You know, we're going to have to work hard to repopulate the 7 to 12 years of experience segment of the workforce. We're going to have to be more creative, innovative. I don't think there's a silver bullet here to solve this, but, you know, it's going to be consist of a combination of solutions. So I think the crisis is going to be with us for a while. The second thing is additional regulation oversight will become a bigger issue, especially as it interacts with the workforce crisis. I believe there's an inverse relationship there, and I think as regulation and oversight increase beyond what is perceived to be needed, I mean, you know, everybody's got a different view of that. This is eventually going to have a negative impact on our efforts to rebuild and modernize our workforce.
So, Frank, just drilling down a bit more, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges that your organization specifically will encounter in the future, and how do you envision your area will need to evolve over the next couple of years?
Well, in terms of just a couple of opportunities, and I think we've mentioned these, but first, I think we should continue to work as one community as often as we can, and, you know, to share creative and innovative practices with each other. I not only look at this as a great opportunity, but it'll be a must to really move this profession and the government forward and better serve the American public. And this includes, like I said, working with the intel community and working with, you know, as many people as we can get out there, working closely with industry, getting ideas, giving ideas, working closely. And, you know, the other thing is wherever I go, of course, after this, I'm going to try to continue to work with the people that I have met and the CAO Council and Department of Energy and the intel community. I still work with people back there. So I think that's how we, you know, incrementally we solve some of these issues we have. You know, we just keep working with each other. Right along with that are the continuing opportunities to bring in young, bright talent into our agencies. You know, we have that opportunity today and have to remember that even though we really have the deficit in the middle ranks, we can't lose sight of bringing in the best and brightest of today. You know, this will foster our first opportunity, really, to work together because, you know, frankly, I think new workers are more prone to working across agency boundaries. And, you know, we'll look at this kind of thing as almost a given. So I think we're going to gain from that. In terms of the challenges, first, the time it will take to populate the middle ranks, you know, 7 to 12 years of experience, it's going to be a while. I mean, we've got to be patient. We've got to move deliberately on this thing. But we've got to be patient with solving this problem. The second, you know, oversight must be done. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes we don't look at the value added. You know, we have the mentality that more is better. And, you know, to me, that's just counterproductive. You know, more is not better. We really have to look at it and see, you know, what we're gaining from the whole process. You know, especially when we're trying to solve a workforce crisis. You know, think about it. Would you want to work somewhere where people were constantly looking over your shoulder, just waiting for you to do something wrong? Especially where we have such a highly educated and a highly ethical workforce.
So, Frank, you've had obviously a very successful career within the public sector, and you've conveyed a very strong passion for the work that you do. So I'm curious, what advice might you give to a person who's out there thinking about a career in the public service?
Well, I think what really keeps me motivated in working in the acquisition field specifically is the nature of the workforce and the dynamic nature of acquisition itself. You know, first, regarding the workforce, I feel like I work beside some of the most highly educated, professional, and ethical people in the federal government. And in my 20 years, the members of this workforce continue to inch the bar higher and higher. And secondly, it's a dynamic profession. The only thing constant, as they say, is change. You know, and a lot of this change is self-imposed to better acquisition. You know, we're always changing. We're always trying to make things better. So it's a profession that doesn't stand still. So, I mean, I really love doing that. You know, bottom line, if you want to work with a highly professional workforce in a field that welcomes change, I mean, acquisition is the place to be.
That's great. Thank you. Frank, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Pete and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country and the acquisition community.
Well, thank you, Al. I appreciate that. And thank you, Pete, for being such great hosts. A couple things I just wanted to mention. First of all, I talked about a lot of things here, and there's a lot more great information on the DOE's website, which is www.doe.gov. The second thing I want to mention is the Small Business Conference is going on in San Antonio June 23rd through June 26th. If you're interested in that, please contact our small business office on the website. And last but not least, please feel free to contact me at any time. I mean, it's very easy to find my contact, frank.spampinato@hq.doe.gov, and I'll answer any questions I can or just direct you to the right person.
Great, Frank. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Frank Spampinato, Chief Acquisition Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. My co-host has been Pete Boyer, Director in IBM's Federal Civilian Industry Practice. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.